Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You have to ride them waves.
Charlotte Soccer Show, Danny Brams, John Hayes. Welcome to another edition. It's a beautiful vibe cast here on a Monday. What night is it? Wednesday night? I don't know. I don't even know what day it is, Johnny. This is why I don't do
it's
the
match
intros.
Week.
It's match week, baby. It's match week, and it's a 6-match win streak for the crown. Things are amazing. I'm here rocking. I'm feeling so good. I wore my signed Ashley Westwood jersey to the foray. I'm drinking Pernicious and having a good time. Johnny, what you drinking?
I've got a seltzer here. I've got a Mandarin Orange Harris Teeter seltzer, Danny.
Yes,
keep it at NA on this Wednesday evening.
Hey, you're putting the man in Mandarin, which I love. I absolutely love. And that's good. You know, shout out to Harris Teeter always. We titled this episode, It's Getting Real, or you could say It's Getting Real, because we beat Real Salt Lake 1-0. We're going to talk a little bit about that match. We're going to talk about a lot of incomings and outgoings and look at the standings, all the stuff we do here on Charlotte Soccer Show. But this is a very special edition, Johnny. And without further ado, I want to get ready and welcome in our special guest. If you know, you know. If you are a Carolina Panthers fan, you definitely know. And if you were in the stadium or saw the social media videos this week, you could not have missed this.
Honestly, it's something I've never done before. So for me, that's always a good thing. I'm about to be 43 years old. Anytime I can do something I ain't never done before, I cherish that moment. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to make it as far as I can, F it. That's what I wanted to do, the F it.
NFL Pro Bowl and Super Bowl champion, Roman Harper.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best one yet, Roman Harper. Epic coronation. I think you understood the assignment, as they say, and welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. It's a pleasure to have you here, Roman.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, fellas. John, good to see you again and talking to you again. Brams, I'm excited. I can't believe you guys even have me on your soccer show. But thank you, though. It was a great time, dude. I'm just happy you set it up, Brams, forever ago, a couple months back, and I happily obliged. I was like, yeah, dude, I'll do it. And then I just had this idea, like, man, I feel like I want to smash 2 beers. Like, what else would I should, you know what I mean? Like, and I just couldn't believe me, Brams, when you told me nobody else had really done that before. I was like, how's nobody else done that? And then from there, you know, just kind of just finagled my way into it. Maybe got a couple, I don't know, you know, some halfway answers. And then at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I'd always much rather ask for forgiveness than permission. So I'm just going to do what Roman does and just make it to a good time.
You did it the right way, because as you know, the tradition is Charlotte FC scores a goal and the beer absolutely flies. in the supporter section. By the way, a side note, make sure you keep your cup in your hand when you do that. that's very important. You saw the goal. You were there. It's a win. So you're at the coronation. You have this incredible, you put on a show, Roman. It was awesome to see, and the vibes are high. And it's Charlotte FC's sixth straight win. I mean, for me, this is one of the biggest moments in club history, and you're there kicking things off because the club has never had a win streak like this before.
Well, that's what I was heard. That's what I heard. I didn't even realize that when I was doing everything that I was doing. For me, it was just about being intentional to make sure that I tried to put my best foot forward. I had my family there.
Amazing.
That to me, that's what it was about. You know, Charlotte FC, win, lose, or draw, I root for them. But at the end of the day, I didn't know that it was going to be so pivotal. And just a great way to just kind of battle it out. A 1-0 win. It only makes it even better because we got the win on top of my coronation, which I was happy with. But everybody else told me how much fun it was and how kind of, you know. But then you also got people that are going to hate, of course. You know, like, oh, I can't believe we're celebrating drinking. And I mean, it's, you know, I was always told if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping anyway. So I'm glad I got them. And I'm glad that I just tried to be a little bit fun and not take myself that serious in front of my kids, and they had a great time. We had a family friend in town, and everybody treated us so nicely. So for me, it was about everything else there. I'm just glad they did win the soccer game as well to kind of, you know, it was a tight one. But, you know, it really never felt close, though, honestly. I don't think Utah really felt like they were ever going to, like, win the game. I really felt like Charlotte FC kind of controlled it the whole way. We had way more opportunities, it felt like, during the game than they did. And we finally were able to capitalize. But that's soccer, though, where you could actually have control of possession all game long. But if you don't put it in between the pipes, dude, you lose the game. And I've seen that multiple times at all different levels. So, you know, it's good to be able to get the win regardless anytime you get the win in soccer.
You know, you can get his football analysis, but you could also get his football analysis. That's what Roman brings to the table. Two different types of football, for sure. Looking forward to the gridiron analysis this fall as well.
Well, you know, well, look, my daughter has been playing soccer for the last, 5 or 6 years. She's a pretty good little player. And so I've learned by watching, and I don't try and give her a lot of feedback on, hey, this, that, and the other. For me, it's just all about attitude, effort. And it's also learning the little things that I've learned. Dude, it's all about the first and second touch. How are you receiving the pass, and what are you doing with it? Within the first two touches, you got to be having that thing tight because that's going to determine whether you can go attack, whether you're going to be able to set yourself up to score, or be ready to pass it back on the 1-2s. So, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about that first touch, the initial touch, and that second touch that allows you to do everything. That's what I stay focused on with my daughter, making sure she's a good, make sure she's taking really good touches when it's passed to her, when she's in control. And then don't be a one-footed person. You got to be a two-footed player in soccer. You got to be able to go both ways with it. And you need to be a threat at some point in time. You know, my daughter, one thing she does is she's fast. So, you know, her big deal is, hey, if you got a superpower, Sydney, and it's your speed, make sure everybody on that in that field in between, you know, when you're on the pitch, they understand how fast you are. That's your superpower. They need to fear that. And then also being a two-footed player where they can't just make me go away from my right. You can let me go left and I'll still bang one in there. That's what you want to be.
I think Zoran said that to Liel Abada at the end of the match. I think he said the exact same thing, Danny.
There it is. See, I know a little something.
I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. And you actually, like, our star player, Wilf Zaha, he's been saying that he came over here from the English Premier League. And it's like, guys, you got to have a better touch. You got to move it faster. Your first touch is very important. And he's been leading by example. And it's cool that you can see that. What you do is, Roman, you know ball, whether it's, you know, the oblong egg-shaped ball or the round ball. You can learn by watching what you do. And what you did on Saturday night, Roman, is you set the tone. And that, I didn't realize it at the time. I kind of hindsight 2020'd it. And I was like, there was no way Charlotte FC was ever losing that match to Utah after Roman did what he did on that throne. It was absolutely epic. And we appreciate it for sure. Shout out to Matt Geslin, by the way, for taking these epic photos of the epic moment. I'm just going to keep saying epic over and over again until people get sick of it. But I love this photo here on the right for those who are watching on YouTube. The far right here where you're just like after the moment was over and you were like, just like totally hyping up to the audience. You were hype for sure. And you got everybody hype in the building.
I was so hyped, dude. You know, I really was just like, let's go. First, remember, Brams, you know, the funny thing is when you do this whole coordination thing, they bring you in early. They want you to kind of go through the walkthrough. And, you know, I go up there. They tell me, well, okay, I got to lean to my right. Somebody's going to put a crown on me. And then they're like, okay, yeah. So then you'll stand up and blah, blah, blah. And in my mind the whole time, I'm like, okay, when am I going to be able to smash these two beers? Like, when's the perfect timing to do it? And
let's
I don't
get to the beers.
Mention,
yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mention it to anybody. And they're like, you want to practice it again? I was like, nah, I'm good. I just, you know, just let me, I just feel the energy and I'll wing it. It's all good. And so to get out there living in the moment, exactly what you're saying. And, you know, to have my kids there, my sons there, my sons, both of my daughters, my wife and a friend. And it was just like, it was just feeling the energy of the crowd, getting crowned and not being so concerned about whether the crown falls off. It's all about the smashing of the beers, making sure I lift extremely high. So the people, because, you know, I learned that from Stone Cold Steve Austin. I didn't just show up, guys. I practiced beforehand. I got a friend of mine named John Damon, who's a neighbor. We smashed at least two beers by like 3 p.m. because I had to practice because I hadn't chugged a beer in a couple of years, dude. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure. And my wife told me that morning, she's like, dude, if you're going to do that, you better practice today. Like, you need to practice. I was like, okay, I'm going to practice chugging some beers. So I did that. And I was well loosened up. And, you know, shout out to my man JD of like, we looked at a couple Stone Cold Steve Austin videos. And, you know, when he went on one of the late night shows and he talked about smashing it together, it really gets good with that. So when I had some cans, I felt really positive about that. And then the other thing is he said, if you just go from right here, yeah, the people in like the first three rows in front of you, they can see that, but you got to lift extremely high like you do in the arenas. So the people at the top row, that's the ones that they can see it. So you got to make sure you lift high. And the picture turned out great because I was lifted high right there on the first one, right there on the left. It was great because I'm lifted high enough where the people in the top shelf can actually see me. Beer's rolling down your shirt. You can't get caught up in that. That does not matter. It's all performative based. It's not even about how much you really get down and swallow. It's just all about the performance.
Right. So, it's not about the drinking. It's about the show. And I absolutely love it. I love the fact that you
touchdown. It reminds me of a touchdown when you're tipping a touchdown.
Celebrate that. That I.
It's like, yeah, no props though. No props in the league though.
Dude. No, this is no fun league.
And I like that you studied film. You know, just like you would in your playing days in the NFL, you got to study film before you go out there and perform. And that kind of leads me to the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Roman, is just that. You are a Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints. You had a great run with the Panthers and made so many fans here in Carolina. You saw the Carolina Panthers make their run to the Super Bowl in 2015. You've lived in Charlotte for a long time. And just as someone who said you're aware of what Charlotte FC is doing, but you don't follow them super close, what would it mean for Charlotte FC here to go on a deep run? What would it mean to the city and the sports scene around? Because Charlotte not only loves a winner, but Charlotte needs a winner. And right now, FC is poised. They're not really at the top of the league, but they could go on a run and bring a trophy home this year. What do you think?
Well, but Charlotte loves winners, all right? And they want winners. And I was there in 14 and 15 when we were winners. And so, I mean, I'd never seen Charlotte like that. I really haven't seen them since then, right? Because of their sports teams not being consistently good for long stretches of time. And so in 2014, 15, I saw this fan base of Carolina and Charlotte like really get behind the Panthers, showing up, you know, giving guys the send off correctly, you know, beating down the buses, watching them, showing up on the highways and on the streets, like being a real town of like loving their sports. Like that's what it's supposed to be about. Where you normally are typically, you see that in Philadelphia, you see that in New Orleans, you see that in St. Louis or some of the other places that are, or Chicago, where these, you know, everybody claims, or Boston, where they claim to be championship cities. Well, that would, the people here are just waiting for that. They've had their teams for just not as long, so they don't have as many championships, but when they actually are winning, they're 1,000% behind them. And, you know, I'd love for the Charlotte FC to be the first team to kind of bring one of those things home. That'd be awesome just to be able to do it, not only for Charlotte, but I believe for the whole state of North Carolina as far as professional teams. They've never won one all. I know the hockey team's been there a couple times, but still has not been able to, you know, dude, we're like 0-12 the last like Eastern Conference games, dude. It's like the most frustrating thing. But we're here to talk about soccer, so it's fine. So hopefully soccer can go on a run and we can make this thing happen. Look, man, I got my own jersey now. So, Grams, I'm like all in ready. And, yeah,
and a crown.
Maybe they'll bring me back, man. I don't know.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should probably, if the club is willing to have you back, which I wouldn't understand why they wouldn't be, a deep playoff run into the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, you're hosting a potential home playoff match. Who knows how long this run could go? That would be a fun time, especially if the Panthers were also having a good start to the season.
That'd be really cool. I mean,
we haven't football. Seen that yet. Yeah. We haven't seen yet. Both teams playing well in the fall.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. Football is, you know, it's going to be interesting how that season goes as well. You guys tell me though, like if I get up there, and I don't smash a couple beers, where everybody probably people be disappointed. I think, like to be honest, I'm like, what do I do? I got to do 3 beers now, or like Stone Cold 4 beers.
Bottle of wine, full bottle of wine. I think, yeah.
I don't even know, like where it stops at. So my mom did tell me. She texted me today. She's like, "Oh, and I saw your beer chugging thing." I was like, "Oh, thanks, mom." I don't even... Yeah, it's all good.
Mom sees everything always.
Yeah,
for sure,
all the time. She's just a couple just days like late, but it's but she did tell me like, "Hey, I did see that. I just want to let you know I saw that."
Yeah. Well, were there any players who caught your eye, or anything that you learned about pro soccer as compared to, you know, being a soccer dad? Just like what jumped out at you from the game, just watching Charlotte FC as a team, just as you say, learn by watching. What did you learn?
Spacing matters and moving the ball and not being in a hurry. I think that's one thing that I think I understand and appreciate a little bit more is when a player can, maybe we get a turnover, we're moving it, but it's almost like, oh, you know what? Let's push it back. Let's not just try and go for something. Let's sit up here and let's try and strategize and make the defense. Maybe you switch sides, you switch it, which means you just reverse it, boom, boom, and then maybe be able to get an attack that way, or, you know, a really good setup for a really good crosser. And, you know, these guys hit the ball so much harder. Like, you know, the speed in which when they strike the ball is just crazy. And that's how they're able to create all that movement and things like that. But also the other thing was the spacing. And, you know, when you got young kids, and I'm used to very much so lower level soccer, you know, kids and people start to get too close to each other and they don't mm-hmm. communicate. So communication is super important, and spacing, which is that's so important in every sport that I'm familiar with, basketball, football, and of course, soccer as well.
Well, let's do this before you go. Now, you just for those who don't know, Roman Harper can be seen on SEC Nation on Saturdays, getting you ready for all the SEC gridiron. I call it gridiron when I'm in the show to differentiate the football thing.
I like
Roman's
that.
Roman's breaking down the gridiron football in the SEC on Saturday mornings. Also on Monday nights on Read and React on the SEC Network with Cole Kublik and Roman Harper, which is nice. A film. Like if you're a breakdown the film, you want to see the tape. If you're that fan that gets really into like the X's and O's, that's the show for you Monday nights on SEC Network. But let's just have you, if you can, you know, granted you're an amateur, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but let's break down a little bit of what you saw from Toklamati's goal here off the free kick, rising above the crowd and making the 1-0 lead happen here.
You know, for me, you know what really stands out to me? If you could able to pause that, like, I this reminds me of what I told my daughter, all right? Right there. This is a great pause right here. It just take a pause, and then you go ask yourself, everybody that's watching mm-hmm. this film who's actually is on the pitch, who wants the ball more than everybody else right now? He wants the ball. He wants it more than everybody else right now. And that's what you got to do sometimes. You got to go get it and you got to go to want it. That's like going to get a rebound. You got to have, of course, you got to be in position. I get that. But he wants the ball. How about the guy in front of him? I'm not saying he don't want it, but he just wants it more than everybody else.
Yeah. He's got a and high so, point it. He's got
yeah,
a high
you
got
to go get the ball. See, all these other guys kind of stand down. I don't know why. They're like, oh, well, maybe he's going to get it. Maybe that one's going to get it. And he's just like, no, I'm going to get it myself.
He's going up for an interception right there.
He's going up for the interception. To me, that's what I see. Great job staying on sides, too, because we all know that's one of the things that defenders try and do. Sometimes they'll try and run up right before the ball's kicked and try and make guys off sides. Great, great run, great timing. You can tell it's a great setup. These are all pros. These guys are all great at what they do, the timing and the passing and some of the through passes and things like that. It's just next level for me to be able to see people be able to kick the ball with such accuracy the way that they do. Even some of the defenders that are able to, you know, boot it down 40, 50 yards and put it on another guy's foot to try and make a run out wide.
Epic. What a goal. What a moment that was, and fantastic analysis. I mean, for me specifically, Toke Lamotte, we missed Patrick Ajimong badly here at Charlotte FC, and to see Toke Lamotte be able to get that high and have that type of jumping ability, I think he might be more dangerous in the box than I thought he was, Danny.
And John, and I just got to say this too, and Brams, I don't mean to cut you guys off, but soccer guys have like the best hair. Like the in-game hair swag for soccer football is like next level. Like from the comb overs to the slick backs to the two color braids to the mohawks that you see with stuff designs on the side. And it's because everybody can see them and they're soccer players. So, you know, they're always, you know, bigger legs than they do upper body or shoulders because, you know, they got to run. They're just built different, so they got to do different things. And it's literally just like how they – I'm not saying they're great athletes, but they're just – bodies are built completely different than anything that I'm used to as far as, like, in my sport.
Yeah, one of the – and that is a very good point. And I will say just a little sort of behind the scenes, pull back the curtain a little bit, is that when we were in the tunnel, Roman, when we entered the stadium pre-match and we were kind of walking around – to go out to do the rehearsal, we stopped by like the entrance where the players walk in, and we saw Toke Lamotte walk in. You spot, you're like, oh, that's the guy with the hair, you know, and like,
yeah, for sure.
We dapped him up, and I was like, Edon, go score tonight, and then he did. So there you go, you know.
Brams was crazy excited. Not gonna lie, Brams was crazy excited. He met a couple people. Crazy excited. Yeah. He was.
It's easy to get excited over the young striker, the guy who's doing nothing but scoring goals. It's fun. There's some top performers in town right now. Toke Lamotte, he had huge shoes to fill, and he's done so in a way that I don't think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. And we're going to talk about all that. Roman, we're going to let you go now. Thank you so much for jumping in. John and I are going to stay in and do a little bit more analysis and looking ahead. Wow. But I don't want to be putting you on the spot. And I know you got a whole family to take care of. So you're good, man. This is a first for us. This is the first time we've ever had a coronation guest on the show. And we could not be happier. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, Hold on, dude. Hold on, bro. It'd only be right then. Hold on.
Yep. Let's do it. Let's do it. Here we go.
He's got the crown. He's got some
I hope so. Oh, yeah. There we go. Exactly. It fell off while you were chugging those beers. So you might as well wear it now. There we go.
Yeah, man. It'd only be right, bro. I appreciate you guys for having me on, man. Thank you guys, man. And Brams, man, just forever thankful of you, what you do at work. And then also setting this whole thing up, man. So thank you, bro. It was awesome, dude. So it's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks for letting me ride shotgun with you and your fam. It was great to see meet your kids for sure.
Dude, we'll keep hammering beers down. Love Panisius too, man. Y'all be good.
Yeah, baby. Oh, no, that's why I'm drinking it. I'm drinking it because I know it's your beer. Yeah.
I love that beer. Yeah. Be good, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers. Peace.
All right, what a moment. Danny, a great guest on the show. And fantastic analysis. We did an incredible job. You did an incredible job, first of all, getting – I echo his words. What an amazing weekend for you and for the fam, just all hanging out, having a good time together. The one thing I didn't get to – I wanted to mention is that he had the tactical view.
Yes.
Yeah, he had the tactical view.
Yeah.
The match, and that's why the analysis, the spacing analysis, I thought was so – was so good. But it's also great to learn about Roman and being a father, a soccer dad of his daughter. Is great to meet him. And
when is MLS Season Pass on Apple going to launch that Tactical View channel? Because I know that you'll be parked there just watching, you know, like we just need the goal, the view behind the goal from every game, you know, at least
and
the Charlotte games.
And the Nat sound and you're fine. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And
it's like being
to
there.
Go. You can
you want to sell some more subscriptions. How about some more options, Apple? Let's go.
Oh man, it was one of those things. And Danny, I'll salute you. I mean, when the club works with fans and people like us, you know, podcast hosts, and to get stuff like that connected to the club, I think that's a really, really fantastic way to say cheers and shout out to everybody over there at the club to make that happen.
Yeah, I feel really lucky and fortunate. I think Roman's such a good dude. I'm fortunate to work with him at the SEC Network, and just a down-to-earth guy. You know, like not a lot of Super Bowl champions that would be up for like going and hanging out at a sport they're not familiar with, and then coming on our podcast to talk about it. I feel blessed, and it just speaks to what a cool dude Roman is. And I got to say, Johnny, things are looking good. The vibes were high. Like I said to Roman, once I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized it after. Charlotte FC was never losing to RSL. I love that he called them Utah. That's great. I'm just going to call him Utah from now on the rest of the for forevermore. But he set the tone, and Toklamati scored a good goal, and things were great. I mean, Kalina came up big in a few spots. I got a clip of that we can show in a little bit. But overall, Charlotte FC gutted out a gritty 1-0 win. And Dean Smith, you know, he was looking like the cat that got the cream, as they say over there in England, after the match in his post-game press news conference comments, because he was like I said on my debut here, I love a 1-0. I just, you know, it really speaks to the ability to, you know, do what's necessary to win and things like that. So, you know, 1-0 to the crown. 1-0 to the crown. It was a beautiful night for sure.
I feel like we did the analysis with Roman. Like I want to move on to the transfer market.
Let's move on.
I want to move on to the transfer market.
And I'll say like the
Roman did such an incredible job, just like breaking down the film, showing the goal.
Right. There's literally nothing more we could say than what he said, for sure. But I have my Kalina clip. We'll talk about that when we talk about a transfer goalie. Where do you want to start with this transfer market? Because it's been a busy, busy window for Charlotte FC, no doubt.
I want to talk about Rodolfo Aloco, I believe.
Rodolfo. We got him. We got Rodolfo. We got Rodolfo, baby. Let's go. Yes.
Oh my goodness! Who is? No, I'm just kidding. I saw it's a deal up to worth $6 million, and I'm just chasing the money here. It's like when you're working for the FBI, you're working for the cops, you're a detective, right? Mm-hmm. You just got to follow the money. Yeah. And right now we're following the potential $6 million deal to Rodolfo. Well,
Let me
if I've got that right. I don't know.
Rodolfo Aloco, right. Yes. Rodolfo Aloco. He's from the African nation of Benin. He's been playing in the Croatian League, I believe. Getting a lot of minutes for the under-19s. Let me just put it this to you. I'll keep your detective analogy going because I love it. You are the – like, you are – you just – you know, if we were – I wish I could just tell you this as a friend off camera, but, like, I really respect the way your brain works so well with analogies, John. You had a great brain for analogies. But so we'll keep the detective analogy going, and we'll say when you woke up this morning and that phone rang in the middle of the night and the chief was calling you, and he said, hey, Detective Hayes, we got a case. we got a case. There's a body. There's a body incoming to Charlotte FC. I'm going to give you 100 million guesses to figure out who it is. Would you ever have guessed that Rodolfo Aloco was the body?
No, absolutely. I didn't even know that there was a country called Benin, and I apologize.
Right, exactly. That's where we're at right now.
I really did not. And this to me almost it felt borderline fake, but it was from Fabrizio Romano. Mm-hmm. It's an 18-year-old player linked to Brighton in the Premier League.
Hey. Okay.
And Lyon in the French league.
Didn't Zaha play for them, right? Yeah.
Charlotte FC
we got the next Zaha.
Has a now agreed deal to bring him to MLS for a package that can reach over a $6 million fee. I just want to call that out, the way that's worded. For a package that can reach over $6 million fee.
Okay. So it's up to $6 million.
Yes.
We don't know
It says over.
Up to more than six. Yeah. Like, but it's not guaranteed. It's not a minimum of six per se. We don't really know. If I could snap my fingers and change one thing about the world, it would be like we would just have full transparency on all financial figures for all transactions in this league. It would make things so much better. Just you know, just tell us what the money is. Tell us where the money, follow the money, right? Like you're saying, like that we can't, we need facts to solve this case. If we're going to crack the case,
even the wording,
if we're
going
to follow the money, we need to know how much money we're following.
Even the way that it's reported is confusing, right? The whole, and that's, I think that's part of my frustration with MLS. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's very confusing sometimes.
Yeah, it is. And Tom Bogert, he followed up on Fab's tweet. He credited Fab like he always does, credit the right sources. And he said, it's up to 6 million plus. And it's also, he said that it is, we are buying him from his Croatian club and then loaning him back until January. So he's not even going to be here until next year. He'll probably start the year with Legacy, but you don't put that much money behind a player that you're going to plan to keep at the MLS Next Pro for extended period of time. So who knows?
Right. Maybe it's a long-term deal, 6 million over 6 years, 4 years.
Right. Who knows? Yeah, we'll have to get Zoran back on the show. I'm sure he would love to come on.
But I did want to start there because I just thought that was money spent. By the way, money earned. The other player I wanted to talk about was Adilson Milanda, mm-hmm. who has officially been signed by Middlesbrough of the English Championship, heading there to play in the winter during the January window is when he'll show up and be able to play because he's loaned back. Charlotte FC is now loaning Adilson Milanda back from Middlesbrough, the championship side.
Pretty cool.
Meaning Adilson Milanda will be the Charlotte FC center back for the rest of the year. So this is his last dance, which it's bittersweet for sure.
Yeah, it's tough to see Addy go. He's a player that came in the 2020, he was one of our first summer transfer signings. He came in August of 2022 and was very quickly became a starter, became a stalwart in that back line for Charlotte FC, even in the Latanzio era, leading, and, you know, never lost his sense of responsibility once Dean Smith got here. And Milanda is just a good young man who really, even despite a language barrier, you know, speaking French as his first language, still really connected with a lot of fans, a fan favorite for sure. Scored a couple of goals, scored the first goal of the season, I believe, in the 2024 campaign, right? And just what I saw, so he's going to Middlesbrough in the English Championship, which is a, you know, he could be in the Premier League next year. That's crazy to think because, like, they look like a side that could be going up. We don't know for that. That's a lot.
A little too early. I think it might be a little too early in the
season. Well, you know, what can I say? You know, I'm Danny Brams here. I like to project, you know, these best case scenarios as much as possible.
Believe it or not, I think it's Norwich and Middlesbrough this weekend.
Right. Well, hey, I know you love your Canaries, but one thing Middlesbrough has done, which is in contrast to what Derby County has done, because Borough cranked out the Adilson Milanda content today. They posted photos, videos, him wearing the kit, and then they posted to their fans, it was like a here's our new guy, and they posted this video of Milanda's highlights from Charlotte FC, and it was kind of weird because like whenever Charlotte FC is rumored to a potential signing, one of the first things I do is I go check like their highlight video on YouTube. I'm like, oh, let's see who this person is. What can you do? It was really surreal to sort of be on the other end of that and be like the club that's losing the guy that the highlight video is made of to go like sell him to the new fans. But when I watched that video, it was the line breaking passes, the line busting passes. This guy, Adilson Milanda, we knew, but we didn't know. Like it really hammered home for me seeing this supercut of how great he is at taking a ball from the back line and passing it into the attack in promising, threatening positions.
It's a skill set that gets you paid as a center back and also gets you bought and sold as a center back as well. Center backs are definitely like a market commodity for sure that people don't really talk about because it's not a goal scoring position, but it's sometimes just as important for a striker. Christian Romero just signed inked a long-term deal with Spurs at the center back position. And that was like, you know, something that the club was really, you know, happy about and proud of, and it would be viewed the same as a striker signing for sure as far as impact to the club. So when you lose a guy like Adilson Milanda, it might not feel like losing a guy like Patrick Ajmon because he scores the goals, but it's going to be tough to replace Milanda on that back line. Milanda and Ajmon both. We know we talk about spine. That's the the tail of your spine and the tip of your spine.
Yeah.
That have both now left the club.
You sent me a screenshot, John, on Sunday. You sent me a screenshot on Sunday of the SofaScore rating for Kalina, Milanda, Westwood, and they were all like rated above a 7.5. And you're like, this is how you win soccer games. It's fine. You know, and I was like, John knows his ball, and that's 100% true. And it's going to be tougher. Like, Tim Ream, as much as I like Tim Ream's game, he's not going to be the dominant killer that Milanda has been on that back line. It's just he's not that stage of his career, I don't think. Right. So it's going to be tough to replace him. And I'm not sure Ream or Privet replaces Milanda. So do we go buy a new center back? I'm not sure.
I don't know. They've bought a new goalkeeper.
We already had a goalkeeper. We went and bought another goalkeeper. So yeah, there you go.
You Christian Kalina, you mentioned somebody coming off now, mm-hmm. clean sheet at home. It's always great to see. I think that's something that Kalina expects to do at home, which is why we like to call it the fortress. So
made some nice saves. I'll show him as you're talking.
He gets that done. So Christian Kalina, somebody that has really stepped up of late. He had a rough patch of it, of course, during those 10 out of 12 on the road. And that's going to definitely be this, like, you know, if I'm writing the novel to the story of the season, the chapter, campaign. That's a chapter mm-hmm. for sure. And we'll always refer to it as that, you know, that chapter of this story where Kalina really struggled, but not here. Not here. No. Kalina played really well. He's somebody that has confidence, that's in the right places. You see it there, Danny. Just a really nice player is commanding in the box right now. And we've signed a new striker in Calendar.
Drake,
is that right?
Drake Calendar. Yeah, Drake Calendar. Love the Drake, as they say on Seinfeld. And he's a veteran. He's a starter. He was starting for Inter Miami last year when Messi first came, and then he kind of found himself in a keeper battle with this guy Ustari. I think Federico Ustari. You can check me on that. But Calendar was a starter who kind of lost his job to injury. He's been a little bit banged up, but he's also been a finalist for MLS Goalkeeper of the Year in the past. And he's a guy that, more so than David Bingham, when he's been in for Charlotte FC, has played well. I have no beef with Bingham, but I don't think he ever truly challenged Kalina for the number one shirt. And I think Drake Calendar will challenge Kalina for the number one shirt. And I don't think Bingham will. I think Bingham's contract is up at the end of this year. I think the signing of Calendar is a clear sign that Bingham won't be back. The club already waived George Marks just hours after making the Calendar signing official. So George Marks, an original, a 22-er, as I like to call him. There's not many 22-ers left. And George Marks was one of them, and he is no more. I know he was a fan favorite for a lot of reasons because he didn't play a ton. He had some good performances. He did a ton of great work in the community. So people love George Marks. He's on his way out. The only 22ers left, I think, are Kalina and Bronico, but someone can check me on that. But
Christian Fuchs. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's just being – I guess, yeah, he counts. He's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere, right?
So we'll count.
Yeah. He's not playing. He barely played when he was here in 22. So, you know.
He was really good for the Independents, though.
Yeah, he actually was. We saw him score that sick header in the playoff match for the Independents. It was insane. Who could forget that in 21? But, I think what it is, it's kind of like, hey, Kalina. And keep in mind, Kalina just signed a new contract last year. Kalina, like, just extended his contract about a year ago today. So I think that, but so did Anilson Milanda, you know. So, like, a contract extension is not necessarily a sign. I always think, like, when you see a guy extend a contract in soccer, that's actually maybe a sign that they're going to get sold, because you want a guy with years left on his contract before you sell him, because the closer they get to the end, the more likely they are to just wait it out and take the free, you know, at the end, or other clubs are more likely to wait it out and take the free. So I think when you extend a guy, that's actually gives you leverage to sell. And as we saw that play out with Milanda, and it could play out with Kalina, I just think it's a sign that, like, we don't know exactly what's going on in the goalkeeper's room at Charlotte FC, but Calendar's here to compete for the number one job next year, I think.
It's a hot take, for sure, considering Christian Kalina is the reigning goalkeeper of the year in MLS, right? And is somebody that has good form right now, but competition's good. You know, Dean Smith wants that.
In the goalkeeper position. Competition for placements is Dean Smith's mantra. Right.
There's another player I want to talk about. It's not Rodolfo Aloco. It's Harry Toffolo.
Harry Toffolo. Yeah. He's the man. Toffolo
makes his debut on Saturday night at the Keep, Danny. And you were there. What did you make of it?
The thing I loved about Toffolo's debut when he came on was the thunderous ovation in the crowd that rang around Bank of America Stadium. It made me realize that, like, Charlotte FC fans know ball. And they've proved this to us before. It's not the first time I've seen this, but Charlotte FC fans do a good job. They're, you know, smart, mature fans. When a guy comes on to make his debut for the club, they usually are able to recognize it. And it was a huge applause. We're playing some highlights right now. If you're just listening on the YouTube version, we're playing some highlights here. Toffolo came on for like 10 minutes. He didn't really do that much, but the club put out a video of his debut. And I got a caption on the screen that just says, "The Toffolo content is flowing," because not only did the club, Johnny, post this video of his little sort of cameo debut, and we can assume he'll be a starting left back at some point soon, but then the club put out a 5-minute video today of Toffolo's first ever training session with the club. This is like a flashback. This video is being recorded before the RSL match even started, and they're just like, yeah, you know, the fans love Toffolo. I think for whatever reason, I don't know if I realized when this signing first happened how much of a content driver Toffolo is, just coming from a rabid fan base out there at Nottingham Forest and folks who loved him over there in England and are wishing him very well. Like, remember when Brex Diagra came to Charlotte FC and all the fans of his former club were like, "Have fun, Brecht. You go for it. You know, have a great time." When Toffolo came, all the Nottingham Forest fans were like, "Oh man, it sucks to lose this guy. This man's amazing. We love him. He's a great player and a great person." And so I think that's a good sign. And I think the club is, I guess, trying to capitalize on his popularity by putting out major content of the guy.
Well, it's nice to see a player get acclimated into the squad quickly. I thought, yeah, his debut was, like you said, just kind of a
cameo is what I call
cameo.
It.
Called it a cameo.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. But
yeah, no. I was thinking, more of just kind of like a special guest.
Right. Yes. Yes. You know, yeah, Charlotte FC versus Real Salt Lake featuring Toffolo.
Yes. It's like, and is he now part of the full band? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For me, I really think that Toffolo is somebody that could make the team better. I need to see more. I don't know where he fits into the squad right now, because I think clearly he would be in the left back position, and he's got to earn it. He's got to earn it, because right now we're not bad.
True. And Jaquil Marcerotti's been holding him down, right?
Exactly. We've won 6 in a row. So you can't lose sight of that as well, that it's a competitive place right now, and there's a winning streak happening. And he's acclimating himself clearly here into the squad.
He looks pretty good in training, right? I mean, you think about it, and he looked what I think he's kind of being brought in also is for some more natural connections. Even in the 10 minutes he played the other night, he looked really good just connecting with Wilfried Zaha. And like, I have joked about this, but it's actually serious. Charlotte FC really is like the Britishest club in Major League Soccer. And we've now got like Tim Ream Premier League experience, Harry Toffolo Premier League experience, Ashley Westwood Premier League experience, Wilf Zaha Premier League experience, Nathan Byrne English Championship experience. And like, we're able to move the ball sort of up the field with like experienced veteran defenders who are able to make those overlapping runs, get transitions going really quickly. And I think it suits Dean Smith's style of play, the way he wants to play. And again, this video is still running. If you're only on the listen mode, we're still showing the video of Toffolo training highlights. It's just kind of, they've never done this for anybody else that I've seen. It's like post a 5-minute training session video of a new player. And it's just kind of strange, but kind of cool that they're doing it for a left back. I don't know.
Yeah, man. It's a good video for sure.
It's great.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't want to like rip too much of it, because I think it's really, really cool. And I think it's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not ripping. It's just different to me. That's all.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we could get into a larger conversation about video production and YouTube and what works and all that. But we don't have to do that now.
Like and subscribe this one though, folks, please. We would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Send it to a friend, as I always say. I think it may not be right away, but I think Tofolo becomes the starting left back.
It's a YouTube trend for sure. It's kind of like notice how it's like ASMR, there's no commentator there. It's like you're standing there, practice, a fly on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of content right now that I think people are gravitating towards. I think people like to have that intimate experience with which makes me happy. It's sound. The sound of the actual setting is so important. Go check out Charlotte FC's YouTube page, because I'll give them credit, because that's, if you're saying that, Danny, that's something new that they're trying and you've never seen anything like that before, I'll give them credit, because that's the type of content I've been looking for.
Let's see
from
more.
This club. And shout out to the club for making it happen.
Well, maybe we will get one for Archie Goodwin, the new striker, because that's probably the last, that's at least one of the last transfer window transactions we should talk about, which
Decoding
is...
Decoding the Presser.
Yeah.
Decoding the Presser, new episode. Archie Goodwin. Another great episode of Decoding.
Cheers to you.
It's remarkable. I told somebody the other day, Danny, I was like, my co-host came up with this great idea, Decoding the Presser, where it's like, it's a press conference, but you just kind of like, it's a watch along and you analyze it. And they're like, oh, damn, that's actually a really good idea. And it's a way to innovate a press conference. I'm like, yeah, it totally is. So you can not only watch Archie Goodwin's press conference and get introduced to the guy, you can hang out with Danny while you do it.
Let's long may it continue, as Ashley Westwood always said. And I'd love to see that concept spread throughout the media universe for sure. I really fell in love with Archie listening to that presser, because the guy just like has such a great smile and a lot of confidence. He just oozed confidence. They're like, who do you model your game after? And he's like, Erling Haaland. And they're like, oh, okay. The best goal scorer in the world, might as well, And they were like, are you nervous at all about, coming over here when there's already an established starter, Edonto Plamati? And he's like, well, I joined my Australian club Adelaide United as the backup. And then by the end of by the middle of the year, I was the starter. So, I'm coming here to compete, and it's healthy competition. He wasn't talking shit, but he was just like, he has massive confidence flowing. He doesn't think he's coming here to be the backup. And we were talking about how great Toklamati's been doing earlier. Toklamati has definitely locked down the starting role for now. He's outproducing Ajmong, I think, on a per game basis. But if those goals start to dry up, the thing is, he's logging a lot of minutes. There's been no natural sub for Toklamati. I mean, I know Tiger Smalls and some others have filled in that spot, but now there's a guy who can come in and spell those last 15 minutes with fresh legs.
You know what helps is the fact that the Crown doesn't have any cup matches left. Didn't have a lot of cup
We don't take cups seriously around here. We just, see what happens.
Yeah, but it's kind of the first time we've said that on the show. Is like, well, the lack of cup action this season has kind of maybe kept some of our guys fresher.
Yeah.
Around this time of the year. Yeah, we had
silver linings, I guess.
The three matches in League's Cup, I think, that if you spread those out, I think the match load right now, I think Charlotte should feel pretty good about its match load right now for the rest of the season.
Yeah. You're right. And that's perfect segue into our final segment here, Johnny, I think, which is the final seven games. There's seven matches left, and Charlotte FC sits seventh in the East, and they're looking to win seven in a row this Sunday evening against New Jersey Red Bulls. What do you think of this home stretch and where Charlotte's at? It's weird to me to win six matches in a row and not really like fly up the table, like still be sitting in seventh after six wins in a row is a little crazy to me. But they have tightened the points race, and they're sitting 3 points out of third place. And they've certainly, Charlotte FC has sort of solidified a playoff position where you're not necessarily worried about dropping out of the playoffs right now. And it's about positioning in these last seven matches.
Only club on that screen right now with five consecutive wins, obviously six as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great accomplishment for the club to be the only and the hottest team in MLS. So think about it from that point of view. When I think about this table, I say the sky's the limit. How many can you win in a row? That's what I looked at the standings and the schedule to see. How many can you keep winning in a row? Mm-hmm. What's realistically the longest streak you could go here? And I realized quickly that this, you know, the match at home against New York Red Bulls is just such a difficult match because it's Red Bulls. It's a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team that is going to show up, and maybe Sunday night at 7 o'clock. I don't know if that's a good or a bad time for a match this weekend. Is that right? Sunday night this weekend?
It's Sunday night at 7. I'll tell you this much. If Charlotte FC wins, then Dean Smith will come out and talk about how great it was to play on a Sunday evening and have that showcase to yourself. If Charlotte FC doesn't win, then he'll say, the calendar was a little off. We had to play on a Sunday instead of a Saturday. You know, that you'll get that routine. So,
and then, 6 days later.
Yeah.
At New England. You know, those two matches, are they winnable? Yes.
I think so.
6 points get you to 50. 50 mm-hmm. points. 6 points would get you to 50 mark, which, remember we used to talk about that 50-point mark, right? Didn't we talk about that 50-point mark?
Yeah, I mean, 50 points, I think, would be a club record, right?
A good place to be for Charlotte FC, and they would achieve it if they could win those next two matches right on 50 points.
Yeah, if we start projecting, there's 7 matches, so 21 points available. I doubt they get all 21, but I think 12. I think 12 points are available from this slate. I mean, we got Inter Miami, a tough matchup, but they're at home. You know, who knows if Messi's going to be healthy? Who knows if Rodrigo De Paul is truly integrated into their squad? So Miami's a tough matchup, but it's not like a guaranteed loss like some people may be thinking. I think, and you know, you get Montreal at home, that should be a win. You go to DC United, they just signed a new player. They just are bringing over some great new player that I'm not drawing a blank on the name. Caden Clark from Montreal, who's a quality player. We would have had to play him for Montreal if they didn't send him to DC. So they're trying to bolster their squad. But I like Charlotte FC for 3 wins, 3 draws, and a loss from this 7-game slate. I don't think that's undoable. And I would like to see the streak continue. If they beat Red Bulls, I think they'll beat New England, and that could stretch the streak to 8 consecutive wins, which would probably live for a few years as the longest win streak in club history. But right now, it's just good to be watching winning soccer, John. I got to admit, I'm having a lot of fun. I don't know where this team ends up, but I'm having a lot of fun watching right now.
51 points is the club record. They achieved it last year, so there's a chance to eclipse that this year. Think about it this way, Danny. The club right now has more points total than it did in the inaugural and second season of the club.
Well, there's only one person to blame for that. Miguel Angel Latanzio. What can I say? Charlotte FC's getting real, Johnny. It's getting real. There's only 7 regular season matches left in a 34-game regular season. We're down to the last 20% here. And we love to talk about the campaign on this show. It's all about the final stretch and finishing strong. You know how dads always pass these life lessons on you. The number one life lesson my dad passed on to me was finish strong. Always finish strong. Don't coast into the finish line, whatever you're doing. Make sure the last impact you make is the most impactful. And I think it's all to play for Charlotte FC.
I'm excited to be there. I'm going to the match Sunday night at the Fortress. It'll be fun. Excited to get back in the building. Didn't get a chance to go on Saturday night. And I'm glad it's Sunday night match this week.
Yeah, I actually like the Sunday night match. I got no
because, yeah, helps me out for sure. I wouldn't have been able to, if it was Saturday night, I wouldn't have been able to go this week, and now that it's Sunday I can. So I'm pumped to be there. I think it's going to be a smart crowd. I think people realize how big this game is on Sunday night. So I think it's going to be a smart crowd. I'm excited to see to be there against a rival New York Red Bulls. This is probably one of the best matches of the year. That's why it's the Sunday night soccer match. Big 3 points from Charlotte FC could go a long way.
Yeah, what I know about Red Bulls this year is they score a lot of goals and they give up a lot of goals, so it could be an exciting match. Yeah.
I think that's a type of club that would come into the Fortress and lose, right?
Yeah.
Because we'll score goals on you, and we won't let you score. So I think that doesn't bode well for Red Bulls at all.
At home, I love it. And this matchup tends to be sort of a one team runs away. There's not a lot of close matches in when these two teams face up. One team usually blows the other one out of the water. So this could be a first where we see an actual, you know, a shootout or just a match that's, you know, sort of popping on both sides. There's a lot of ways this one could go. But I think that most of those end up in a Charlotte win, I hope. I guess I'm getting my confidence back. I don't know. I predicted a loss against Cincinnati, and we won 2-0. So there you go.
Great show tonight. It was fun hanging with you, being back on the show, having Roman here.
The best.
Shout out to Roman. Thanks so much for joining, Roman, on Charlotte Soccer Show. Great analysis as well.
Yeah, great to have Roman.
If you made it this long into the podcast, thank you to the listeners. Our TFOS. Our tremendous friends of the show hanging out with us on Charlotte Soccer Show. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page, like, share the show with your friends who are hopping on the Charlotte FC bandwagon. We're going to be here for the rest of the season talking about the crown. I'm excited to do it because who knows what's going to happen down this final stretch run, Danny, because the crown is playing well right now, and Dean Smith's an experienced manager, and it's time to ride that wave down to the finish line.
Yeah. Charlotte loves a winner, like Roman said, and like you have always said. That's been one of your mantras.
He knows from, it.
Yeah,
he knows the truth of the matter for sure.
Yeah. Hey, it's for the crown, baby.
Cheers.